Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About. This is our new Christmas show. It's Christmas Eve. Have you done all your shopping? Are all your presents wrapped? I mean, not me, not yet, but it's getting close, that's for sure. Today's show, we've got some really interesting things, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your Christmas traditions, too. But also, too, I wanted to find out Christmas traditions around the world. You know, it's very important that we do celebrate our traditions. It carries on from one generation to another, of course. And so we're going to set up the show a little bit differently. We're going to have Jim Corbin calling us first, only because I wanted to have a lot more time to talk about Christmas traditions and everything. Where I work, there are several people from around the world, from China, Shanghai particularly, and also two from Sweden. And I do have three people that I have interviewed, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But I wanted to find out from you if you have any Christmas traditions as well. Our number here is 508-222-1320. It's a great Saturday morning. I wonder if we're going to have a white Christmas. We'll have to find out from Jim Corbin. But there's a lot going on in the world, that's for sure. And I'm going to talk to you, too, about the top-selling toys when you were a kid. And I've gone through the ages of what's very popular back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, too. So today, we gave Mike the day off because he needed a much rest, you know, with family and friends. And I have Jim Jones is in the studio with me today. So good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elaine.
Thank you so much for getting up so early.
Oh, you're welcome.
I do appreciate it.
It's always a fun show.
It is, isn't it? I always say when it's live radio, anything can happen. So I'm really thankful that you're here with us. Mm-hmm. So how are you doing on your shopping? Are you all set and ready to go?
I'm all set. I've got my one present that I'm expected to get from my wife, and she takes care of the rest of it.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
Yes. Now, what are some of your traditions that you have?
You know, we decorate the house. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said on a previous show, right after Halloween, decorations go up.
Wow.
We have the Christmas tree downstairs with the fireplace, the mantle, and the Santa's village and all of that. And then we have the great room upstairs where we have the larger Christmas tree and where most people congregate, you mm-hmm. know, upstairs. Family-wise, you know, my parents come over typically Christmas Eve, and her family will come over on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's so nice. That's really great. Mm-hmm. I know as we go over my sister Diane's house, it's the 39th year for Christmas Eve that she's had us over there. Mm-hmm. And from my mother to my sister to myself to my children mm-hmm. and their children now, and we just found out this year that this is the last year. So we generally go there. Everybody brings things to eat. Mm-hmm. And then we have my brother-in-law sitting on a chair, a mm-hmm. special chair. And all the kids sit on the floor, and he reads the night before Christmas.
That's nice.
But he messes up.
Okay.
So then the kids always kind of like fill in the blank, like, you know, 'twas the night before Christmas, went all through the mouse, and they go, no, house. And it goes through the whole
That's
thing.
That's cute.
And then afterwards, you hear us tapping on the window, and everybody looks out, and there's Santa Claus. And Santa Claus comes in, and the kids just go wild. And kids from age 3 all the way to 17, mm-hmm. they love it because then their presents are given out, and everybody gets a picture of their child sitting on Santa Claus.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. In years past, my brother-in-law thought it would be very fun to have me get called up and sit on Santa's lap. And it was like, oh, my God, please don't embarrass me anymore. But anyway, we're going to check in with Jim Corbin to give us the latest and greatest about our Christmas Eve weather forecast and also, too, throughout the next week. So good morning and Merry Christmas, Jim.
Merry Christmas. Can you believe Christmas tomorrow and Christmas Eve is here? And, you know, I'll tell you, we've been monitoring this for the last couple of weeks, Elaine, in terms of the weather. Remember last Christmas what the temperatures were?
They were about 59, 60, weren't they?
They were like 65.
65.
Yeah,
wow.
And 2 years ago, I think it was Christmas Eve today, the exact day, that was about 60 to 65. So we have a big change coming up. Not a big major weather issue, but I'll tell you, you know, again, not a white Christmas, but certainly not the walk from last year, which was for some a good thing. Others were like, this doesn't feel like it. But we do have a little bit of rain moving in this morning, but overall, no big major weather issues coming up.
Wow. Now, how about the rest of the week?
Yeah, well, for the rest of today, we're going to have some rain. Of course, the Patriots are playing this afternoon. For those that want to go up to Gillette Stadium at 1 o'clock, they're playing the New York Jets, and one of the worst teams in the league, so hopefully they'll win. But anyway, but in terms of that, they'll probably be tailgaters later this morning and early this afternoon, likely dealing with some light rain. We're not going to have much, but enough that it'll cause a few puddles around. Temperatures be in the low to mid-40s. So, again, no white Christmas this year in terms of tonight and tomorrow. But at least we're not going to have any icing issues or anything like that. Skies will start to clear tonight. Temperatures falling down into the upper 20s. So, as I've been saying all week, as Santa arrives into the greater Attleboro area, he will be arriving, but he will need some of the wheels that he can attach, because no sleighing going around, because there won't be any snow on the ground. Then tomorrow, Christmas Day, mostly sunny. So good news for traveling tomorrow if you have to around the area. Again, no snow on the ground, but at least it will be fine for traveling. That's the key. Temperatures right around 40 degrees. And then as we go into Monday, we'll start out with sunshine, increasing clouds. And I do expect, Elaine, that we'll get some rain, probably a little bit Monday night into early Tuesday. But once again, looks like it would be in the form of rain. Now, as we get closer to New Year's, of course, coming up later this upcoming week, we're going to see colder temperatures start to move in. Not bitterly cold, like we had a couple of weeks, a week or two ago, but it will be certainly colder than we've been recently. So our next chance of precipitation would be around Thursday or Friday, and that could be in the form of snow and some rain, but better chance of that being more snow, so that the setup for New Year's next weekend, this upcoming weekend, would be likely a cold one. And so any outdoor activities involving, say, ice sculptures, things like that, hopefully won't melt.
Well, that's really great. I was going to ask you, when you predict going into our new year of 2017, can you look ahead just a little bit?
Well, we've been thinking that so far this winter has been a little warmer. You might remember last December, a year ago, was one of about the top second warmest December in over 100 years.
Wow.
Now, and of course, part of it was involving around Christmas, when we had warmest Christmas on record. We're thinking that the pattern is locked up in Canada. Remember when we had that cold about a week and a half ago? Remember those bitter wind chills for just one day? The cold air is the polar vortex, as we talked about, is lurking up there in Canada, and it has been suppressed a little bit south of the North Pole, which that winter we had 2 years ago, you remember that one, the bitter, where
yes.
We had a lot of snow. It never rained. It was either snowing or it was sunny, but it never rained. And we had, deep snow and big, huge snow piles. I don't think we want to see that, but we're going to have more action than we had last winter, because we're going to have these brief intrusions of Arctic air coming down. And if it merges just right, like it did the other day, last week, when we had that 3 to 4 inch snowfall, we're going to have snowfall that will be a few inches. But unlike that winter 2 winters ago, we're going to have brief intrusions of the cold. So we're going to have similar situations where we'll get 2, 3, 4 inches of snow. We're talking about January now, maybe even the February, where we'll get 2, 3, 4 inches of snow, and then 2 or 3 days later, it rains and a lot of it washes away. Then 3 or 4 days later, it snows, and then 2 or 3 or 4 days later, it rains and it washes it away. I think we're going to have a sort of a back-and-forth winter, which is not necessarily the greatest news for winter sports enthusiasts, except when we get a little ice forming on some of the ponds and lakes. But overall, even that is not going to be enough that's going to be a great winter, at least the way it looks right now, a great winter for winter sports enthusiasts. But here we are on Christmas Eve and just a week away from 2017, and it looks to me like winter is going to start easing in nicely, but not in a brutally cold or brutally snowy way.
Wow. So it is like a hodgepodge. You're not going to be looking at, remember one year we had like the cars were like frozen and encapsulated in ice. Oh my God. You had to run up against a car to just knock off the ice off the car. I remember one of my girlfriends, she lives in Australia, and I actually did that because she was trying to get her into her car. And I said, no, you have to wait and put the heater on. But she was in a hurry. So she did like a 5 foot step back and then ran into her car, and it did break the ice. But it's like, I wouldn't recommend that. But
I was going to say, that is kind of what we may actually have over the coming weeks into January and February, where we have, like, remember we've had in the last couple of weeks, we've had a few mornings where there's been a lot of widespread black ice.
Yes.
And And I think that could be slipping and sliding more than deep snow. I think that's the type of at least the start of 2017 we're going to have in terms of, you know, it snows and then it might mix with a little rain. Then it gets cold for a day and then everything freezes up solid, so you might have to chip away. And then 2 days later it gets to 50 degrees for one day and then it melts it off. Just like we had, remember a week ago, the day we had the snow, the next day, Sunday, it was all gone because
right.
we had the warm, humid weather, warm for this time of the year.
Right.
And I think that is another thing that we're probably going to be dealing with, chipping away at ice for a day or two, and then a day or two of winter warmth. I'm not talking about 60, but maybe 40, 45, 50 degrees. And then the next day it goes back to a light snow and that kind of thing. So, again, it's interesting. But one thing for tonight, as Santa tries to arrive in the Attleboro area, he won't have any snow to look at, and neither will the rest of us. But at least for travelers, everyone else traveling for the rest of this weekend, the weather should cooperate. We're going to have a little rain today, but overall, not exactly anything to be overly concerned about slipping and sliding.
Oh, that's good news then, because we want everybody to be safe. There's been too many accidents this past week that has just been really horrific with black ice and speeding, so we want everybody to be safe,
sure. And traveling, just walking around, I've talked about this overall many times in the past, just walking in a parking lot or, you know, a sidewalk or whatever, or even your driveway if you haven't cleared it. Now, again, that will not be the case today. Today is just going to be a little rain, although, of course, you always want to be careful even walking on a wet pavement. But but by, say, Monday night or Tuesday morning, some of that rain that falls, you know, put ice up briefly right around sunrise. And that's the type of issue that we're going to have for the rest of the year, which is still one more week to go. But again, as I said, in January, coming up next month, that could be a little more in the way of snow versus rain events. So we'll see. But Merry Christmas to everyone.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, you will. And I hope you come in the studio because we're doing that special wrap-up show. So
I hope to get in there on next Saturday morning.
Great, because Tom made me promise to bring in a dessert that he's seen
online.
Nice. I told him that I would do that. So Merry Christmas to you and yours, and thanks for calling in. And have a great time. I hope Santa Claus is very good to you, and I'll see you next week.
All right, Elaine. I'll be waiting for him. I'll be staying up all night tonight waiting.
Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye. All right, there goes Jim Corbin. So there's a hodgepodge of things that are happening this week. So take it easy out there. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
From February 15th through March 4th, the Attleboro Arts Museum will exhibit Then and Now 2017, interpretations of selections from the Attleboro Art Museum's permanent collection. Then and Now 2017 will spotlight the original work of newly invited artists responding to different selections from the Art Museum's permanent collection. There will be an opening reception for the exhibit on Friday, February 17th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The reception is free and open to all. Reservations are requested but not required. To reserve a spot, email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's it's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. Don't make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This week on AACS 15, we will feature Liz Saunders Sings Holiday Classics. This performance was recorded at the Attleboro Council on Aging's annual Christmas luncheon and includes all of your favorite holiday tunes. You can watch this program in full high definition online at AACS.com, via the AACS mobile app, or on AACS's Roku channel. For a full channel schedule, visit AACS.com and click on Schedule. From February 15th through March 4th, the Attleboro Arts Museum will exhibit Then and Now 2017, interpretations of selections from the Attleboro Art Museum's permanent collection. Then and Now 2017 will spotlight the original work of newly invited artists responding to different selections from the Art Museum's permanent collection. There will be an opening reception for the exhibit on Friday, February 17th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The reception is free and open to all. Reservations are requested but not required. To reserve a spot, email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road in North Attleboro, supports high school sports in our community at every level. Opened in 1983, owner Angelo Cavalieri is proud of their 33 years of service to the Attleboros. Falls AC is open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. They have lunch and dinner daily, banquet rooms for your meeting or get-together, and dart leagues. The entire staff at Falls AC wishes the high school athletes the best of luck in every game. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road, North Attleboro, 508-695-2688.
You sit down at your table, you get your card. 25 squares hold the key. Which one will it be? I-25, O-72, or Lucky B-13? Which one will be the square that makes you jump up and shout,
Bingo!
The Attleboro Elks Lodge 1014 hosts Bingo each Sunday at 887 South Main Street. Open to the public, the kitchen opens at 5 p.m. with a variety of food available. Bingo starts at 6 p.m. Prizes are awarded and proceeds support Elks charities. For further details, you can visit AttleboroElks.org or you can call 508-222-5502. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
This week on AACS 15, the Attleboro Bombardiers boys basketball team hosts the Sharon Eagles. This was a high-energy, back-and-forth game with stellar performances from players on both teams. In addition to viewing the game on AACS 15, you can watch it in HD on AACS.com, the AACS Roku app, or via the AACS mobile app. And remember, if you're feeling nostalgic, you can watch all of AACS's prior sports coverage on AACS.com.
Everyone, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach, and we're talking a little bit about all kinds of different things today. We have a great forecast from Jim Corbin, and we're going to talk about Christmas traditions from around the world. I work with a lot of people from a lot of different countries and traditions, and I was very fortunate to interview three young men from Sweden. I was very interested in talking to them about what their traditions are. So you're going to be listening to a pre-recorded tape that I did just a few days ago with Tobias, Johan, and Max, and I understand their families are listening all the way from Sweden, so we'll play the interview right now. Okay, so we're going to start now and talk about some of your favorite Christmas traditions. So Tobias, Johan, and Max, why don't we start with Tobias?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of all the food. We eat a lot of food in Sweden. It's basically our equivalent to Thanksgiving. The food is quite different. We have herring and what else? Jansson's Temptation.
Yeah, so we have this thing called julbord, which is like a Swedish Christmas table, and basically everything you could ever imagine being on a table.
Yeah, it's fun. It's called, well, the Christmas table, because we actually eat the same food on Midsummer and on Easter as well. So it's the exact same food, but we changed the name.
Yeah, so we have the tiny little hot dogs that we call prinskorv, and obviously Swedish meatballs and sauerkraut and pickled herring, and
it's awesome.
A lot of stuff, a lot of mustard, a lot of crackly bread stuff.
We also have some special Swedish drinks. There's julmust, of course, which is like a Christmas type of soda. And there's glögg, which is like a mulled wine sort of thing, which you heat up and have it with raisins and nuts and stuff. So that's one of my favorite parts.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. How about if you can each go tell me, I'll start with Tobias, then Johan, and then Max. If you can just tell us about your specific family traditions. Do you have like family, neighbors, people come over, or do you have, when do you celebrate Christmas? I'll start with you, Tobias.
Yeah, well, we actually, when I was little, we used to visit all my family on Christmas Eve. But that was, since we're going to so many, we basically spent all day traveling around, but nowadays we celebrate Christmas Eve on either my mother's or my father's side of the family, and then we change it up every other year. Mm-hmm. And then on Christmas Day, we take the side we didn't get to visit on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Johan? What do you do for?
So I've usually just celebrated with my my immediate family rather than my extended family. But usually we have rice pudding or rice porridge for lunch. And then during the afternoon, we sit and watch the Donald Duck Christmas special, which is like a Swedish tradition. Everyone sits down at 3 p.m. and watches.
That actually originated from, I don't know if it was the 50s or 60s, but Walt Disney sent over a couple of trailers to Sweden, mm-hmm. to the Swedish network. And as a question, do you want to broadcast this or do you want to buy the full movies and all that? They didn't do that. They just took all of the trailers and compiled them into a 1.5 hour movie of sorts. And they've been sending the same thing for 50, 60 years, and everyone watches it in Sweden.
Okay, so Max, that's what you do too?
Yeah.
That's what you do
That's what everyone does, yeah. But so, yeah, pretty much the same as Tobias on Christmas Eve. And by the way, Christmas Eve is actually, the 24th is actually our main night of, that's when we trade, because you do 25th, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So we give gifts and all that on the 24th.
Oh.
So on the 24th, I usually spend it with my father's side of the family, which is a lot smaller than my mother's. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit more, we're just 8 to 10 people, something like that, eat all the Christmas stuff. And then on Christmas Day, we usually head over to some of my mother's side's relatives. That's pretty much it.
Now you have been here for a couple of months and you've traveled around the United States. But now that you're here on Christmas, I know that you have to tell folks what you're doing on Christmas and the Christmas holiday instead of staying in New England, which I think a lot of people would do exactly what you want to do. But how do you see or perceive our Christmas in this area in New England compared to Sweden? Like, is there a big difference, a major difference? Are we more commercial? Are you more traditional? Tell us the differences.
Ooh. It's a lot more flashy here, I would say.
More Christmas decorations.
Yeah,
we were
out hunting Christmas lights yesterday. And yeah. I mean, the first house we passed by is basically like equivalent to the best house in Sweden.
Yeah.
When it comes to Christmas lights.
They hosted their own radio show and synced the lights to the music. It was crazy, yeah. But so, I think there's a lot of commercialism in mm-hmm. Sweden as well. The Christmas basically starts, the Christmas hype starts December 1st, basically the same as it does here, I guess. So there's
a lot
we
start
like that.
In October, actually.
Oh, you do? Oh, wow. Because I didn't really see it before, like, since after Thanksgiving, sometime like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the thing is, we don't have Thanksgiving in Sweden. So
no, that's right.
I guess you sort of have this other
tradition. You build up for Thanksgiving,
before.
But yeah.
Yeah, we start, you know, when you sell the Christmas papers or...
Yeah.
And, you know, you start that in September.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, it's obviously, as with the U.S., everything is bigger and more here. So it's a bit like the U.S., but not entirely as as much. What was the other sub questions?
No, I was just going to ask you, where were you? Yeah. Where are you going on Christmas holiday? Where are you going?
We're going to Puerto Rico for a week. So yeah, I think it's the first time for all of us where we're spending Christmas on a beach. So that's going to be pretty cool.
I think that's really amazing because most of us would head to Florida.
Yeah.
But you've already been to Florida.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving, yeah. that's the thing. We don't have a lot of ties, family and stuff like that in another place. We just try to avoid the cold for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to bring our Santa hats and take your Christmas card that we're going to
send it back to us.
So you know what you're missing.
Well, on a more serious note, I know it's kind of hard to be away from your families and friends during the holiday. So because we live stream, I'll get you the link and everything. But would you like to do a shout out to your parents and say who you are and say a greeting and we'll wrap this up?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm Tobias and I just want to wish my mom and dad a Merry Christmas and basically the rest of the family that hopefully will be listening to this when I send them the link.
And my name is Max, and I also want to wish my mom and dad a very merry, merry Christmas, as well as my sister, my grandma, and all of my family and friends that are back home in the cold.
and I'm Johan, and to all my friends and my mom and my sisters, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well said. All right, great. Well, we'll be right back after these messages. Not really, folks, because, you know, you never time out this right, but that's okay. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we were talking about Christmas traditions from around the world, and I have about 2.5 minutes before my official break. And so as we get started, we just heard about Sweden's traditions. I can't say enough about the three young men that were there. I hope they're having a great time in Puerto Rico. I hope it's not raining or snowing down there in Puerto Rico, but I'm sure they're not, so... Tobias and Johan and Max, Merry Christmas, and we'll look forward to seeing you on your safe trip back. Just be safe, guys, down there, would you? Anyway, Christmas traditions. Okay, Christmas Day in Provence, France. The family all goes to church and enjoy an abundant feast of wonderful dishes, and they actually have this beautiful buttercream cake shaped like a frosted Yule log, and that's what they love. On New Year's, the grown-ups visit family and friends and exchange gifts on New Year's. So where we celebrate on Christmas Day, they wait an extra week or two before they celebrate. I remember with my family, oh my God, I'll bring Jim in on this too. My dad had one of those old-fashioned cameras that had the bright lights. Mm-hmm. Very bright lights. So even though you try to sneak down early on Christmas morning, you had to go back upstairs. And then my dad had to go downstairs. You hear him stumbling in the dark, putting the light on. Then he flips on this camera and he says, okay, everybody, come on down. So you're supposed to pretend that you're surprised at your Christmas presents that you've seen like 15 minutes earlier. But you're so blinded by the light. It's like, so all of us, when I seen these pictures years later, all our eyes are like shut almost because you're trying to feel your way down the stairs. It was like a mess.
Was that like an 8mm camera or was it like a video camera or was it more still?
It was 8mm. That's right, because we transferred it to DVD and then we set up popcorn one night and we were watching
awesome.
Oh my God, it was hysterical to watch them. Oh, it was so much fun that you've seen your stocking when you were a kid, mm-hmm. which I still have, and the Christmas ornaments. But when you look at the trees from year to year, you realize, oh my God, they look like Charlie Brown trees. There's hardly any branches or anything. And it's like, because my dad always put it right in front of the window. Well, right below the window was a heating duct.
Oh.
And needles were just like, so by Christmas Day.
It was dried up the first day it was there.
Exactly. It was bad. It was really bad. Right. How am I doing on a break?
You got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I can talk for 30 seconds easily. But anyways, those are we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas toys. Remember when you were a kid, what was your favorite toy? Be thinking of all of that because I've got the list of the most popular toys going way back into the 30s all the way up until now. So we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. You're listening to a special show of Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Joyful Paintings, The Art of Bob Ross by Nicole Bonneau will be on view from February 15th through 23rd at the Attleboro Arts Museum. Nicole Bonneau has challenged herself to recreate the 403 canvases that artist Bob Ross brought to life during his PBS show, The Joy of Painting. Joyful Paintings is a pop-up exhibit of 30 of Bonneau's Bob Ross-inspired paintings. There will be an opening reception for this exhibit on Friday, February 17th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The reception is free and open to all. Reservations are requested but not required. To reserve a spot, email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
AACS 15 is your home for Attleboro High School sports. This week, we'll be playing our first Attleboro hockey game of the season. The Attleboro Bombardiers battle the Clockers of Ashland High School at the brand new ice rink at the New England Sports Village. You can watch the game on AACS Channel 15 or in high definition on AACS.com, the AACS Roku app, or the AACS mobile app.
Everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach, and today we have a very special Christmas Traditions from Around the World show. And also, too, I'm going to take you back all the way back to your childhood, or even you probably don't even remember these, or you weren't even born then in the 19. I know I wasn't born in the 1940s, but can you imagine getting Crayola crayons, Lionel trains, and teddy bears for Christmas, Jim?
And being excited about it.
And being very, or Tinker Toys, or Lincoln Logs, or Erector Sets, and die-cast toys like cars and toy soldiers were popular back in the 40s. I don't even know what a Madame Alexander doll is back in the 40s.
No idea.
Oh, my God. But I do remember Viewmaster, you know, those little things that you did when you were a kid. Monopoly came in on the 30s and 40s. Red Ryder BB guns, that was made popular by A Christmas Story movie recently. I didn't even know what a Red Ryder BB gun was, did he teach you? And, oh my gosh, the board game Candyland was invented back in 1940s. And I can't believe that because my granddaughters play with that.
Right.
Yeah, unreal. And then Clue, and what you have in your hand, the Slinky, Silly Putty, and Radio Flyer Wagon, Red Wagon. Oh, my God. And they reinvent themselves because I've seen those Red Wagons at Benny's. Mm. Actually, they're on sale if you happen to shop for your child. What's wrong with you?
Yes.
But
is it the plastic one or is it like the, like, cut your face open if you fall off?
Yeah, it's not.
Red
it's,
Rider.
You know, everything is protected. It's all padded now,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm just visualizing that, you know. It's like the kids are living in a plastic bubble, you know. You can't get hurt.
Well, you can't buy toboggans anymore because they're dangerous. Metal with wood. You know, you hit somebody with it, you break a leg.
Oh, yeah, or hit a tree. I hit a tree when I was a kid. Explains a lot, doesn't it?
It's terrible.
It is bad. It's really bad. I know all those toys, the saucer, you know, they had that saucer. My dad said, oh, it doesn't go. It sticks in the snow. So I said to my dad, it sticks in the snow. He says, well, come, bring it down. I'll put wax on it.
There
it should
go.
Be fine. So I don't know if you've ever seen Christmas Vacation
That's
where
awesome.
Chevy Chafe is sitting there with this new polymer on his.
Right.
It goes right down. I went so damn fast and I was spinning around. It was like, oh, make it stop. I don't know how I made it, but oh my God, that thing flew down and everybody was so excited. They wanted theirs to put wax on the bottom of that. Those are dangerous
too, because
you can't steer. It's like your friend pushes you down a hill and holy moly, hang on, because you're not going to make it down there unless you hang on, that's for sure. But I don't even see that on the list. But Barbie dolls were introduced in 1950s, that says Lego building sets. Look at how far they've come. Mm. Oh, my God, from just a box of little Legos to now they have all these, like from Star Wars. And, oh my God, all these, like you can build anything and everything with these things.
Last weekend, because my twins had just turned six, and Noah got a Nexo Knight from Lego, I guess. And it's a horse. It's called Mega Horse. And it's a horse that turns into a car. It's like a transformer. It has like 300 pieces that I had to put together. And it took like 2 hours to put this thing together. And then within 5 minutes, he'd already, you know, busted it apart. It's like, Noah.
Oh, my God. You said 2 hours? That's excellent.
Right.
Wow. I mean, sitting on the floor putting together like a 100-piece puzzle with my grandkids, it was like it takes weeks, you know? Mm. It's like Lego sets. Oh, my God.
Well, luckily the Legos come with instructions, step-by-step instructions, so that helps.
That does help, yes. Yeah. But if you step on one, my God. Especially around this time of year. Oh, my God. Hey, we can thank the 1950s for Play-Doh. Play-Doh gets caught in everything when it dries.
Right.
Carpet especially. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Matchbox cars. Oh, my God. Tonka trucks. Hula hoops were invented in the 50s. I'll be darned.
Timeless toys.
Yeah, and a Frisbee, too, was invented in 1950. Wow, I didn't realize that. Oh, remember Etch-a-Sketch?
Never good at Etch-a-Sketch. You know, you had to, the coordination of being able to make a circle with it and know how to, just how much to turn. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I could never do it either. I had my brother who would always kick it over when I was just finishing. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Easy Bake Oven, I had one of those. Those
did
are
it,
toys.
Did it work?
Yeah. 60s and 70s, I burnt my fingers, but, you know, because back then they weren't safety.
Right.
You know, we just came out in these little pan. These little aluminum pans, and it's like, oh, wow, this is great. My mother said, just before she said, watch, this might be hot. It's like, my fingertips were burnt.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Now you can't have them, I guess. Yeah. Or they come out, and they're nice and cool by the time they reach the end. But what a – I know now they have reinvented them. I've seen them at – being paid by Benny's at all, but I just love that store.
Right.
It's just so great. I mean – all our kids' stuff went on layaway at Benny's every year when we moved up from Maryland. And just love that store. I just do to this day. It's just really great. Oh, my God.
The only issue with Benny's is you walk in there and it smells like rubber tires.
Go ahead. I know. It's like, oh, my God. And I've never seen a tire on the wall. That's a scary part.
Right.
It's like, are they rubber mats there? Where's the rubber smell coming from? I don't get it.
All the bicycles along the side.
Yeah. All those colors and everything. Right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anytime you bring a child into Benny's, that's the first place they go to the right. It's shiny. It's bright. Mm-hmm. It's new. It's like every child wants a bike. Honest to God, that's great. Remember Weebles? They won't fall over. Stretch Armstrong.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
That's the ticket. Yeah. And Nerf balls were invented in this between 1960 and 1979. Oh my God! Star Wars, action toys back then. The original ones. I have twin sons. I bought them everything. My husband and I bought them everything, every toy. We even had a Darth Vader carrying case for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Starfleet fighters, Luke Skywalker, everything. All original, everything. Gave it to them all when they grew up and they wanted their stuff. Where is it now? God knows where they are. Both of them. I said, do you realize the Star Wars stuff that you had? It was so priceless.
Right.
So anyway, Pet Rocks, remember that?
No.
This person.
I know of them. I just never.
This person invented these silly looking rocks. Go out and get a rock in the ocean and come back and paint it and sell it for an ungodly amount.
I sold a pet rock once on eBay. And it had this little, it came in a little carrying case. with tan looking paper bedding that the rock would sit in.
Yeah.
And it had holes in the side so that you can carry your rock around so it wouldn't die. Yeah. You know, like you would a hamster.
Like a hamster, right? Right. Oh my God.
That's how it was presented.
Jeez. Yeah. It's like mood rings and everything. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Oh my God. Atari in 1980s, the toys started coming out to being more a little bit more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And Jim and I were talking about the Hatchimals before we came back on, but here's a crazy Cabbage Patch Kids. Oh,
the ultimate crazy toy. Brings out the worst in parents.
Oh my God. And like the Hatchimals this year is just the hottest thing, and you can't find them, and the prices are ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
and people are hoarding them. It's like and they're expensive. It's like I can't bring myself to pay that much money.
That, and the stores only get like two at a time.
What?
Yeah. It's like a limited distribution. So the stores get like two in each shipment.
Oh my God.
That they get. It's like, folks, just put like 50 of them on the shelf. Now, the problem is, if there were 50 on the shelf, they probably wouldn't be that hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because you can't get them right now, which is what makes it, you know, so sought after.
Oh my God. Supply and demand all over again with the Cabbage Patch Kids. That mm-hmm. craze. But like you were saying too, wait till January.
Yep. Wait till January. There'll be hundreds on the shelf and they'll be worth $20.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So,
and what do you do with a Hatchimal after it's hatched? I don't know.
I have no idea. Can you explain what a Hatchimal is?
So what a Hatchimal is basically it's a stuffed animal that's in an egg. And when you take the egg out of its package, it starts, you pet it or you do something with it for like 45 minutes. And within that 45 minutes, it's turning in its egg, it's pecking away at the egg to hatch. And so for 45 minutes, you see like little bits of this egg coming off. Like a regular, like, chicken would be pecking out of their shell. And once they're done, a sound happens. The top flips up, you pull the Hatchimal out, and what you do with it afterwards, I don't know.
But that's what it does.
That's it.
But you can't put it back in the egg and then it starts again.
No.
No.
Nope.
The whole thing is that.
Yep. Yeah, just
let's see, go to a farm, get a heat lamp, folks, right? You mm-hmm. know, wait patiently, put it on straw, yep. and just keep watching, and you'll get a real chicken.
Right.
Eventually. I don't know how long it would take for an egg.
I think it's like 23, 24 days is the gestation period of a chicken.
See? So that would be more educational too.
Yeah.
And it's not plastic. Anyway, how about Trivia Pursuit, Transformers? Oh, my God. Tickle Me Elmo came into the 1990s. Pokemon cards, too, and Beanie Babies. Oh, my God. Beanie Babies. Oh, my kids love those things. I'm just really ridiculous. Now, fast forward how much we've changed. There's just so much electronics like Leapfrog and Disney Frozen toys featuring Elsa and Anna. The new Star Wars toys are more sophisticated. And kids are starting to read, which is really great, like the Harry Potter books. You know, I think that's really cool. But then, you know, the board games have changed as well. Classic board games like Monopoly, even though it's been, you know, quite a while, they bring out the new anniversary editions and they update them. And now you can have states, like Rhode Island has their own Monopoly mm-hmm. game, and other states do, New York, mm-hmm. and different things like that, too. All right, folks, we're going to take our break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Stay tuned. We're still talking about Christmas traditions and Christmas toys, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Call me.
From February 15th through March 4th, the Attleboro Arts Museum will exhibit Then and Now 2017, interpretations of selections from the Attleboro Art Museum's permanent collection. Then and Now 2017 will spotlight the original work of newly invited artists responding to different selections from the Art Museum's permanent collection. There will be an opening reception for the exhibit on Friday, February 17th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The reception is free and open to all. Reservations are requested but not required. To reserve a spot, email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
AACS 15 is your home for Attleboro High School sports. This week, we'll be playing our first Attleboro hockey game of the season. The Attleboro Bombardiers battle the Clockers of Ashland High School at the brand new ice rink at the New England Sports Village. You can watch the game on AACS Channel 15 or in high definition on AACS.com, the AACS Roku app, or the AACS mobile app.
Listening to Out and About with Elaine, I'm Elaine the Roach, and welcome to our Christmas edition about Christmas traditions and toys, and it's just a lot of fun. But I do have to say there are a few movies that are coming out. Why would you want to go to the movies on Christmas Day? I don't know. Have you ever thought about this? But I'm not to judge. I just want to tell you that there are some really great movies that are coming out, and one of them is Patriots Day, and it really does pay tribute. Mark Wahlberg is from Boston, and the reviews are just really, really great. And the original filmmaker really wanted to bring out the best in a worse situation. And the critic says, once the bomb goes off, Patriot Day offers a compelling recreation of what went down on the marathon's finish line. And it's just been a really interesting story. It runs 2 hours and 13 minutes, and it just started playing in our area, and it's they're going to start opening it up to more theaters, but right now it's a limited run. So if you get a chance after Christmas, check it out, because it's just going to be a really great, very, very interesting movie, and it's getting a great, great review. A fun one is Office Christmas Party and What Not to Do. Manchester by the Sea is supposed to be really phenomenal, and Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's brother, is getting a lot of great Oscar buzz about that. And a new movie. Of course, we have to have a new movie around Christmas, and it's called Sing. It's an animated The Voice movie, but better, because the movie is only 1.5 hours versus 12 weeks of eliminations. Also, here's something free, because I always like to try to bring in families, but if you have, the kids are off, you know, for school vacation, but Roger Williams Park Zoo is open and free admission from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. all the way till December 31st. You can visit many animal exhibitions, but there's a new addition. There's a red panda. A red panda, imagine that. at Roger Williams Park Zoo, so check it out. Isn't that something? I've never seen a red panda. I might have to.
No, never seen it. I think, aren't they smaller?
Mm-hmm.
They look like little foxes or something.
Yeah,
like that.
The paper. I was looking at the paper and it was like, oh my God, they are so tiny. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really, really interesting. So, but yeah, so those are some of the things that you can look at. Getting back to Christmas traditions, I'll just read a few more because I know our time together is just running really fast here. But if you ever thought about how everybody celebrates differently. Spain, for instance, they burn candles above the door and light candles. People fast all day. They go to midnight mass, and when they return to enjoy a feast of almond soup, roasted meat, baked red cabbage, and sweet potato or pumpkin. Christmas Day is set aside for family reunions with relatives getting together for more feasting, as it should be, not this commercialized stuff. Seriously, really. So that's Spain. I really like that one, that's for sure. Let's see, where else are we going? We're going to go to Germany next, and Christmas Eve is the most important time for their families. Some even say it's a magical night where animals can actually speak. A wonderful tradition of a Christmas tree, which started in Germany, is in the heart of all celebrations there. Grown-ups decorate the evergreen trees with beautiful ornaments, and let's see what else. And they start singing just after dark. The bells will ring in the towns, and the excited children will run into the room to see the beautiful lighted Christmas tree. The family members do exchange gifts, recite poems, and sing Christmas carols like Silent Night, Holy Night. Wow, that's just really great. Everyone enjoys a Christmas feast of roast goose, turkey, or duck. Wow, that sounds like it's a lot of fun. Now, my friend is in Australia, and she says that Australia, it's summertime there because of where they sit on the equator. So they are on summer vacation, and their festivals take place outdoors. And they have a festival called Carols by Candlelight, where people come together at night. Again, they light candles and sing Christmas carols outside. And they have a wonderful feast, and it's really great. Going into England, it's generally cold and wet and foggy in England at Christmas time, but the day before Christmas is a very busy time for families in England as they wrap presents, bake cookies, hang stockings over the fireplace, and everyone enjoys someone telling the classic story of A Christmas Carol. It's just really, really nice. That's a nice, warm feeling. That's really nice. I think that in our traditions, I think that it's really important to keep it alive because, you know, generation to generation to generation, our family reads the night before Christmas. My brother-in-law sits in a chair. All the kids sit down on the floor, and he starts reading the night before Christmas. And it's just been such a great tradition. And it's in its fourth tradition, 39 years. And unfortunately, this is the last time. So whatever it is, it's just really too bad. But just keep in mind that no two countries celebrate Christmas exactly the same way. But while people around the world may have different traditions, Christmas is always observed with a sense of wonderment with family and friends gathered. It's a Christmas tradition that we all share. And I think that that's just the most important thing. And I always say, you know, your presence is your present. And I think that, you know, be mindful when people are seeing the word sale and markdowns and things like that. Don't get useless things. You know, get things that people can benefit by a family is my philosophy. Like I get movie tickets for my children because I think that that forms that family to select a movie. It's a night out for them, and they enjoy a wonderful movie on me. And to me, I think that's more than buying a useless toy or Shopkins, which are those new phrases for those little girls of mine, my grandkids. They love those, and it just, oof. Yeah, it's like Legos, Jim. He's looking at me like, what is a Shopkin?
We've got a lot of Shopkins at the house.
Oh, you do too?
Yes. Lily has Shopkin sheets and Shopkin pillow sets, and she's got a Shopkin carrying case for all her Shopkins.
Wow.
Yes.
That is needed at my son's house, mm-hmm, for sure, because he'll vacuum them up, and the girls are freaking out. And he has to empty the trash and they go get. It's a bad scene altogether. I don't know. So anyway, but I'm so glad that Tobias, Johan, and Max were able to call in and share their experiences with Sweden. traditions. I know it's got to be hard for folks being around in a new country, a new environment. And if their families are listening, I just want you to know that they are great. You've done a great job raising them. They are phenomenal young men. And even though they are down in Puerto Rico, they will come back safe. I just know it. I told them where, no, never mind. Anyway, they are great, and we want to wish you out there in Sweden and everywhere a very Merry Christmas and have a wonderful time, too. How much time do I have, Jim?
4 minutes.
Oh, okay, great. So as we wrap up our show and everything, you know, there's a lot of Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa's coming. So everyone in every tradition, we want to wish everybody well, too. So, and next week, I just want to say that we're going to have a really great show. I call it the wrapping up of the end of the year show. And I'm going to go through of all the people that I've interviewed in 2016. And it is quite a list because I was talking to Tom Rafferty, and I hope he's coming in instead of calling in. But he would say, well, how many people? I said, I don't know. I really don't. He said, well, how many people are coming here? And I said, I've invited a whole bunch. I said, but it's a studio. You can't fit a lot of people. So we'll see what happens. But I hope that you'll tune in next Saturday morning so we can talk to you and wish you a happy new year at that time. And whatever you do, just make it a good holiday season, as they say, to be politically correct. So just as a heads up, we want you to remember that Monday, Tom Rafferty will be filling in for Dominic. And Saturday, December 31st, is our special wrap-up show. So we hope that you'll be able to call in and check in with us. So I do have somebody I did want to acknowledge. We have a WARA 1320 person that used to call us, and I found out today that unfortunately he passed away, and that was our friend Bruce. So we want to send our condolences out to his family at this time. It was very sudden, and so we wish, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them. So, but on a lighter note, folks, whatever you do, wherever you go, visit, this is a time of family and tradition. Carry on that tradition. I know the young folks that are listening and everything, they're saying, well, what's a tradition? What does it mean? And I think that it's more than just doing the same thing that my mother or my grandmother or my great-grandmother did. It's a feeling of family togetherness and unity. In this time of age where all the kids are looking down at their computers or down at their laptops, and the interaction of community is gone, almost gone, and I worry about the generations that are coming up. Please focus on this time between Christmas and New Year's as a family time, and we certainly do, and we make an effort to do that, and that's what it takes to keep us all together. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up a little early so Jim can play out our song, and we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and also a very Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. So from all of us at 1320 WARA, thanks for listening, and we wish you all a very great holiday season, and we'll be back next Saturday with a new show of Out and About with Elaine.